Well, today I'm going to continue on in our service, in our study of the abundant life. And this is actually our last installment in the abundant life. And I want to let you know the next 2 weeks are going to be entirely different. You've been studying well with me. Does anybody have any idea how long we've been studying the abundant life now? Or not the abundant life, but the master outlines. Anybody have any ideas? It's over a year. Am I right, Miss Sally? It's almost 18 months now. It's almost 18 months we've been doing these studies, and they're very good, and I love them, and they're helping us to grow and to focus as we take this time to learn once again who God is and to walk into that, which is a very real thing when you're beginning a church, because you've got to start at foundational matters and work your way up. Because lest the foundation is laid is secure, and there's only one foundation to lay, amen? And that is Jesus Christ. And as we have laid that foundation or are revisiting that foundation, because it's always been the foundation of our faith, it gives us the hope of understanding that, yes, we've done things right, and those that we haven't, to repair, correct? Because that's the one thing. How's that go, Bobby? Plan, do, check, and adjust, right? Plan, do, check, and adjust. And that's what our lives should always be about. Because as we grow, as we mature, which we're going to be talking about here in just a little bit, things change in our lives, right? Well, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to be actually doing a break. And that break is going to be looking at the names of Jesus. We're only going to look at four names, all right? We're only going to look at four names. Jesus has many names throughout the Scripture. And we're going to take a time just to relax, to get refreshed once again, and just to worship and to just love on the Lord for 2 weeks. Why? Because we're starting the next series on repentance on the very first Sunday of Lent. I figured we're not going to start repentance until we start Lent. And it carries us right to Easter Sunday. So it's going to be rather interesting to be looking at repentance during the entire season of Lent. But for today, we're going to be finishing up with the abundant life in our series. And I want you to turn in your scriptures to 2 Peter 3 and 18. 2 Peter 3 and 18. Because I'd like to propose the premise that an abundant life is a mature life. An abundant life is a mature life. And from 2 Peter 3 and 18, from the 18th verse, I want you to read this with me. Read it out loud, one verse. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Now that's just a short little verse there, isn't it? Very short, very simple little verse. But it speaks to us no matter where we are in our maturity. And understanding that we are called to grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord. To grow in His grace can be taken several different ways. But I want to take it here today as growing unto maturity, okay? Because we are all growing in His grace as we realize just how much more grace we need. No matter where we are, no matter what's going on in our lives, we need more and more and more and more grace all the time. But the grace I'm speaking about is the grace of bringing us to maturity in Christ Jesus. And I propose to you that there are four stages of growth in the Christian life. The first stage comes to us from 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4. This first stage, I've called it here the baby stage or the infant stage, okay? Because that's actually what it says in the Scriptures, that we are infants. So, looking at the reality of God's Word, because these are not things that I make up, these are the realities of God's Word coming to us. From verses 1 through 4, we read these words. He says, "Brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? For when one says, I follow Paul, the other, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? So when we think about spiritual maturity, does it have anything to do with age? Absolutely not. It has to do with the spiritual condition, okay? And that spiritual condition of an infant Christian is one who, according to the Word, not according to me, is worldly, is one who is a person who deals on just the milk of the Word. They're not able to eat the meat. In fact, they can't handle the meat and will often run away from it. You know, when you try to feed a baby meat or heavy foods when they're first born or you know, not very far out, they spit it out, don't they? Well, that's exactly what Christians do, because it's too much. They can't handle it. And as infants, we can only live on the milk of the Word. At this first stage, I want you to think about babies, okay? That's one of the reasons why I wanted the kids up here, and I was so grateful that they acted up this morning. I really am, Miss Amy. You know, you all look at me and you think, you know, oh my goodness, my kids. No, I love them. They are pure innocence, okay? They are that reality that we're all supposed to be, okay? And they show us where they really are, don't they? But boy, we like to doctor it up and make it all look pretty and, well, I'm mature. Really? What are you showing everybody else, right? Because I want you to listen to some of these things. An infant is at the self stage, okay? I want. Why does a baby cry? Because they want their diaper changed. Why does a baby cry? Because they want held. Why does a baby cry? Because they want fed. I want. And we just go on and on and on in that stage, don't we? Okay? And it's so amazing because there are times, and if we all want to be honest with ourselves, there are times that even though we think we are spiritually mature, we walk around sucking the pacifier, sucking our thumb, oh, wah. How many of you are here willing to be honest and say, yes, Pastor, that's exactly what I do sometimes? Because you all know I do it too. You've heard me. And I need to grow up, okay? I need to grow up, and so too do we all. We need to grow into that maturity. Because one of the first things that happens when we're an infant, we get our feelings hurt. Oh my, we get, I can't believe they said that. Can you believe they said that? Oh, I can't believe they said that. I would just feel so terrible. Really? Get a life, okay? You got to understand, folks, when you're walking in Christ, we're here to be iron sharpening iron, right? Okay? Now, I'm going to pick on Miss Eva. She's over here all by herself this morning. Okay? If I come up to you and say, Eva, I got to talk to you about something. What's the first thing you're going to do? Yeah, exactly. That you said it. You got it. Oh, no. And we put up our defenses, don't we? Right? Because we don't want our feelings hurt. But as Christians, when we come to somebody to talk to them about something, are we to attack them or are we to love them? We're to love them. We are to love on them like you wouldn't believe. Now, does that mean that I can't say something critical to her? Okay? Because critical in our world's connotation is not a good thing, is it? I love Brother David, and right now, please do keep him in prayer. He is preaching, and he is doing communion all by himself over at St. Stephen's. So he was all balled up about this, and we prayed, and he's ready to go. You all know he is. I mean, he has shown himself approved, a workman worthy of the Word, and so God's using him right now, and I pray he uses all of us in that manner. But the reality is, you know, here's this brother of mine that he gets up here and you all tell him, oh, Brother David, that was such a wonderful sermon. Oh, you did so good. And then I got to go up to him and tell him, David, you messed up here. David, you messed up there. You need to start saying amen, you know. And I'm like, huh, you folks build him up and I deflate him. You tell him to. I'm not alone. But we get our feelings hurt. And the reality is you shouldn't be getting your feelings hurt. If we're truly maturing in Christ, we should be wanting that correction. We should be wanting that help from those who are more mature to help us to develop into the adult Christian that we're supposed to be. It's called growth, okay? Do you let your children at the age of 5 still wear a diaper? I heard Grandma. She's like, I can't wait. He's too little now. Let him get bigger. I was so thankful for my sister-in-law when we had Russell and he was growing up. We started taking him over there for babysitting, and he was getting close to 3. And in 3 days' time, she had him potty trained. Huh? Well, it wasn't long. I can remember that. Because I was like, oh my gosh, this is getting old. You know, changing diapers just isn't a fun thing. Well, children, pastor's telling you changing your diapers isn't a fun thing. Okay? But I'll keep doing it until you grow. But growing takes criticism. You've got to be open to really hearing a person and understanding, you know, is this person coming at me or is this person coming alongside of me? Because there's a difference in life, isn't there? A person who comes at you, dumps something on you, and then leaves. But a person who comes alongside you walks with you through the entire process and says, hey, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. I think God said that, didn't he? I shall never leave you nor forsake you. And that's a reality that we need to understand. And one of the ways he does not leave us or forsake us is he puts other Christians in our lives to help us move through these different stages. Okay? Babies, and I just want to hit on this a little bit. Babies live to be served. Okay? When was the last time you ever saw a baby do something for you? They rely on us, don't they? And if we don't get it, they start going off. And that's what happens in an infant Christian's life too. They want what they want, and they want it now, and they'll have no other. Okay? We need to grow beyond those things. We need to be people of delayed gratification, because to delay gratification gives us so much more when we finally get to where we need to be and receive in the fullness therein that which God has for us. Because I want you to think about this. How many of you wanted something so bad that you went out and made it happen, and after it happened you said, oh man, I wish I wouldn't have done that? We all been there, right? Babies, infants live to be served. And they only take milk. And I already spoke on that. And this is the one that I really love, okay? Because I hear it, you know, and I love it. Parents, don't ever think that your children are not welcome in the sanctuary, all right? That is life to me. When I hear babies in the church giggling and gaggling and la, 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 okay? Pastor just preaches louder, okay? Because they can do their thing and I'll continue doing mine. But I think it's awesome when children, babies, are starting to learn how to talk. They make absolutely no sense, do they? And how many of us imitate them? Oh, did you boo boo, did you go boo boo, did you boo? Do you realize that's what we do in our Christian lives? We walk around talking, but then our lives don't show it. So we're walking around in our Christian life, oh, did you boo boo, did you boo boo, do. Because we're out here doing something wholly other than what we're saying. And we need to understand that that is infant talk. When you say one thing and do another, that's infant talk. Because you're not living to the standard that you're truly portraying. And it's so amazing. And I'm talking to brothers and sisters here, and you all know it. And you know, I hate to say it, but you know, some of us do put on airs. Okay? And I know that being a pastor, you know, as soon as I walk into a room, it's like everybody changes. So I just walk right into that. Yes, I'm the right holy reverend. What are you doing? And it's an amazing concept, but it does happen in Christendom, all right? And we need to get away from that stuff. We need to be genuine people. We need to have our talk and our walk line up. Brother Dan has stressed that to me ever since I've known my brother, okay? He's one of my great mentors and teachers. And yes, I know I'm his pastor. We have that iron sharpens iron relationship that I was trying to allude to a little bit earlier. Because Dan rubs on me and I rub on him, and we sharpen each other, and it works. Because he holds me to the flame, I hold him to the flame. Where I'm weak, he can be strong, and where he's strong, I can be weak. I think I just said that just backwards. But you get my point, okay? And that's how we work on each other. And we grow in faith. We grow in maturity. We need to move on from the infant stage. And many of us still have some things in our lives that are still at that stage, and we need to get beyond them. Well, the second stage I call the child stage, okay? The child stage. And this would be somewhere between the ages of, I'm going to say, 5 and 20. 5 and 20. And for those of you young people out there, you're thinking, wait a minute, I'm not a child. I'm 16. I'm 14. I'm a teenager. I'm an adolescent. I'm a young adult. No, you're not. You're not a young adult until you're into your 30s, because your brain has not stopped developing yet. When you are 25, your brain finally stops developing, but you still have a long way to go. Believe me, I'm 52. I didn't realize it until I was 45, okay? And anybody who's my age or older will say amen to that, because we have learned, we have matured, and are yet in the process. But I want you, and this is amazing, because I didn't want you all to think I'm making this stuff up, okay? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 12, because as you're turning there, I'm going to open my book, because I want to read directly out of this book what it says here on this reality. You turn there, and I'm going to turn here. I should have marked this rather than having to do this. Okay. From 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 12, we read these words from the 9th verse. 13, not 9. I'm looking at this and saying, that's not right. 13, beginning in the 9th verse. As soon as I find it. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. When I think of this age from 5 to 20-something, I realize that, you know, hey, I've been there, I was there, and praise God I'm not there anymore. And I look around and I see young people there, and I praise God for where they are, because they're growing, they're learning, they're maturing. And as Christians, we find ourselves there when we think we know it all, okay? And that's one of the things that I love about this life era here, okay? Because when you think about it in life, how many of us adults, don't raise your hands, I don't want you to embarrass your children who are here with you today. How many of us here look at this, and every time we have a conversation with our young children, okay, our young teens, our early 20s, we're dumb, and they know everything. Right? Yeah. Don't you dare. I did that to my dad. I thought he was the dumbest person in the world. My poor father and I just didn't agree on anything, because I knew everything and he knew nothing, right? One of the most amazing things to me, when we've just read out of here, as most of us know, as the love scripture, right? Most of us, we had an escape over here. One of our infants made the great escape. He's trying to mature and get away from these crazy people. That'll teach you to give him to Grandpa. when we're looking at this scripture, we realize that this scripture is talking about love, right? And there's a lot of folks that say, no, wait a minute, Pastor, you're not reading that in context because it's talking about love and how we're supposed to grow in love, and it's talking about this. Well, let me ask you this. Who is love? God. Doesn't it say that? God is love. So as we grow in God, as we grow in the grace of the Lord, which takes us right back to our very first scripture, we need to understand that these things are very real in our lives, okay? God is love, and we need to grow up into that love. And God knows all things. We don't, okay? We seriously don't. And I'll tell you right now, it's a sign of maturity when you understand you don't know it all and you don't have all the answers. In fact, there's very little that you have answers for. Because we think we got something nailed down, and about the time you think you do, the rug gets pulled out from under your feet. Amen? So the best thing that we can do is make an educated guess and pray and hope that all things work. And we know that they do. In fact, we're going to look at that scripture here in just a little bit. But I want to read to you right out of the book what it says here about being a little child, being this child stage. It says, some Christians grow to be little children spiritually, but they stop there. Here are some of the characteristics of children. They are often untruthful, envious, and cruel. If rebuked, they become martyrs. If crossed, they are resentful and often make a scene. They are talebearers, repeating everything they hear. In adults, it's called gossip. They are given to emotional outbursts and are easily puffed up. They love praise and will accept it from any source. They seek only the things that appeal to self. Okay? Right out of the book. All right? I wanted to read this so that you folks know that I'm not picking on anybody. This is coming out of the master outlines. And then they have the scriptures here to go along with it. For me, all I need to go along with it is this very reality that you know, we're told that we're to put away these childish things. Because when we think about it, you know, hey, let's face it. How many times have we known folks in our Christian walk where they'll say something, and as soon as we come against them, because we know theologically what they're doing is wrong, but as soon as we come against them, they just go out and they look for an army to justify them, okay? Because we can't stand to be wrong. And you're the one who's wrong, and we'll do everything we can to disprove you. When the reality is, that's not maturity. And, you know, I think about that and where some folks are in Christ, and some whole denominations stand there on political agendas. And that's one of the reasons why I don't want to be a political person. I want to be a spiritual person. Now, is God political? You bet he is. You better believe he is. Okay? He said, I made it all, it's all mine. You don't get any more political than that. That is truth. That is complete and total truth. And so when we start thinking about politics, it started with God, it ends with God. What do you think Alpha and Omega means? Right? And when it comes to our Christian walk, we need to realize that too. It's not all about me. It's not all about you. It's about God and how we interact with Him and how much we allow Him to influence us and how much we're willing to be changed from what we think and hold true to what truly is true. And truly, God is true. And we're the ones who need to be molded and adapted to Him. As I look at our young people, and you know, I'm not picking on young people because I was one too, all right? So I'm taking things out of my own life. When I look at young people and I think about the things that we did growing up, and, you know, we wanted to be adults. How many of us tried to act like adults when we were, you know, 10, 11 years old, right? 13, 14 years old, 18, 20 years old. We're trying to act like adults. And we're making infant decisions, okay? We're making such childish decisions that our parents have to come and bail us out. Ain't none of us ever been there, right? How many times does our daddy have to bail us out? And I want you to really think about that because you know who I'm talking about. God, how many times does he have to bail us out because we started down a wrong road? We started doing something that we shouldn't have been doing, but we justified ourselves the whole way through because we didn't really know what the Word of God said, or we didn't really care. We just wanted ourselves to be right because we wanted what we wanted. Isn't it wonderful that we have a dad who loves us so much that he allows us to do those things, to talk back to him and to spit in his face? Does he? Yeah. I want you to think about this, because that happened in reality, didn't it? Jesus was spit upon. And each and every one of us do that when we come against him or his word or his will. And when we turn back to him, does he shun us? Absolutely not. He invites us in because he wants us to grow. He wants us to come back to that relationship. He wants us to come back to that image of his son who showed us the greatest love of all. He is the image of God in person. For the fullness of God dwelt in him, and God was well pleased. Amen? And that's what we want God to be. See, that's another one of the wonderful signs of a child. How many young people out there, how many children out there are really doing these things because, you know, they're all puffed up, right? Like it said there, and you all know it. Oh my gosh, how many of us were there? We walk around all puffed up because we're really looking for approval, aren't we? We're not realizing that what we're doing is not cool. We think we're getting it all together, and God says, go ahead, mess up. I'll pick you up. Go ahead, embarrass yourself. I'll cover you, right? And that's the unfailing love of God, the unconditional love of God coming right into our lives as children. He's there for us, and we need to get out of that. We need to begin to move and surrender ourselves in such a way that God is able to walk in our lives and that we're able to grow from that reality into what I call being a young adult. Now, in my book, that's somewhere between the ages of 20 to 40 in human life, okay? Yeah, that's a pretty big gap, 20 to 40, right? That's a young adult. Because at the ages of 20 to 40, that's when we're beginning to start our families. We're starting to get serious about life. We're making job choices. We're making partner choices, okay? We're looking for our spouse, okay? Some, and when they're 14, think they're looking for their spouse. But no, that really doesn't happen or shouldn't happen until you're a little bit later in life. Amen, parents? And because that's a big decision. All right, and you really need to search the Lord out on that, because you want to find, guys, your Eve, okay? And gals, you want to find your Adam, the one God has created for you. Since the beginning of time, God knew who was to be your spouse. Your question that you need to ask is, do you want the one God wants for you, or do you want second best, or third best, or fourth best? Choice is up to you. But when we hit that 20-something, we become these young adults. We become that age of maturing. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. We finally get to that point where we're beginning to understand some things, and we're really beginning to grow in the Lord, and we're beginning to realize and come to an understanding that we don't know it all and that we may never know it all. But we're willing to learn, and we're willing to step out in faith and in growth and in grace and acknowledge those realities. And to me, and I think that's one of the most amazing things, like I said, that doesn't happen until somewhere between 20 and 40, because it comes a point in time where you finally realize, huh, I don't have all the answers, and I'm not afraid to say that. And it's okay to say that, isn't it? Because that truly shows that you are a maturing person, all right? From verse 12, it says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong in the word of God, and the word of God lives in you. And you have overcome the evil one. At this point in time, as we're growing into this young adulthood, we begin to recognize evil. Do you see that? All of a sudden, some of the things start coming a little bit clearer. All right? Because when we're young, when we're teenagers and early 20s, You know, we think everything's okay. Oh, mom and dad, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll be fine. Yeah. You're making your parents fine. Fearful, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Okay? So every time you say, mom, I'll be fine, or dad, I'll be fine, just remember, so too are your parents. Fearful, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. Because of everything you're putting them through. But that's all right, because your children shall be payment unto you. That's what my mother told me. And I got Russell. She was so wrong. I was blessed. And I thank God for that, because I am so grateful. Russell has never gotten into the things that I got into. And that by the grace of God. But Russell also lived a different life. Russell faced death at the age of 4 with cancer. And knowing both of his grandfathers died of cancer, and knowing it was a death sentence, and Russell came to life a whole lot earlier in life than I did. And his father taught him. And that's what we need to do with our children. Turn them over to our Father. Stop raising your kids, people. Let God, through you, raise your kids. Which means you need to grow up. You need to become one of these young men or young woman in the Lord. And I think this is amazing, because it says here, that, you know, from back in Corinthians, it says, I put away childish things, right? That means we need to move into true spiritual form. Though it's not yet fully formed, because remember, it says, though now we see dimly, then we will see fully. Because this is what we need to understand. This is that transition time. We are transitioning from that of being a child, when everything's play and everything's happy and everything's good and I know everything, to that place of understanding that, oh, I don't see quite as clearly as I thought I did. What is that on the horizon? And I don't know about that. And it's okay to say I don't know. It's okay to grow up. It's a fearful place, because that means you're not in control. But at this point in your life, you're beginning to realize that God really is in control. Because this scripture tells us that you have submitted to Him, that you have won the victory over evil, because you're beginning to see evil and you're able to call it by its name and you're able to separate yourself from it. That's one of the wonders of being in this reality, is that as you grow, you begin to grow strong and virile in the things of the Lord. Now, does that mean you have it all together? No, because at the age of 20 to 40, you still have some of your attitude, don't you? We still have some. Let's all be real. Between the ages of 20 to 40, we still have some of our attitude where we're competing with our spouses, okay? Which one of us is really going to be the head of this household? What? What's God say? The two shall become one. Where's the competition? There's no competition. There's an equality. So stop trying to get it over on each other. Okay? Because the only thing you're going to do is bring condemnation upon yourselves. And that from God. Because dad likes to discipline his children. Not because he likes to, but because he feels he has to get us to walk right. Because then we can walk in blessing. Because when we're not walking in blessing, we're walking in cursing. Please understand that. When they stood on Mount Ebal and Mount Hermon, what did they do? Blessings and cursings. There's only two things in God. There's no middle ground. There's only two things. But in that middle ground, that's where we find ourselves, isn't it? Between the two. And where are you going to go? All right? Blessings and cursings. So when we become that young adult, that's where we find ourselves. We are finally making our way between those two places and understanding that this is where life really gets worked out. And where does it get worked out? What we just say? On the two mountains were the views of God, right? On the high ground. Where are we? Down in the valley. The valley so low. Because nothing grows on top of a mountain. But when we are in that valley working it out with God, what does the scripture say? We are to work out our salvation with joy and gladness. No, with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you according to His will, according to His good purpose. And where do we realize that? When we finally become young adults in the Lord. When we finally get to that place of saying, God, you really are in control and I don't know it all. I need to have the rough edges knocked off. All right? And we're willing to be put on the potter's wheel and be reshaped a little bit. Right? We're willing to be that gem put on the grinder's wheel and to have the facets ground into us to take off those rough edges and bring the beauty out that's within. And the final thing that I want us to deal with is looking at the reality that we go from that yet not fully formed to maturity in Christ. Now, I'm going to ask you all a very serious question. Do any of us ever fully get there? No. But it is a destination. It is a place that we are to be pressing on towards. And if we read the Scriptures, we will find many places in the Scriptures where it speaks of that very real reality. Because the first one that I want you to think about is Romans 5, 1 and 2. Because it says, now that we have just been justified, we have what? Peace with God. Okay, Romans 5 and 1. Because when we come to full maturity, we find peace with God. Romans 5 and 1 and 2. Okay? When we come to Christian maturity, we know the peace of God. We have peace with God, okay? That means we understand that there's no division between us because Jesus Christ is our peace, right? But now, as a mature person, we may know it. In other words, it may come upon us, all right? It may come upon us. And that is Philippians 4 and 7. It says, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, right? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, we realize that there's a way for us to access the transcendental peace of God, that it will flow upon us, that it will fill us to the point where we can have peace in life, no matter what's happening in our life. How many of us are there right now? I'm there right now because I'm in church with all of you. We have that peace from time to time, don't we? Where things are clear and we are understanding and we're at peace in our spirit because we know the peace of God. How many of you have, for some unknown reason, you know, somebody's been sick, something's been happening in your life? I know right there's a lady who has said it to me many a times. Okay, Miss Faye. She's looked at me when she had her heart attack. And she said, oh, whatever. And I'm like, what? And she lives it. She doesn't get upset. I'd have another heart attack worrying. But she knows the peace of God. And she exudes it in that instance. Okay? And it's so amazing because when I look out here at the audience, there have been times in each and every one of your lives that I've seen that you know the peace of God. But is it there always? No, it's not. Because we have not fully matured, all right? But we can know the peace of God. Know it. It can be part of us, all right? But it can't be part of us until we've come to that age of maturity. We also rejoice in the Spirit, okay? A spiritually mature Christian rejoices in his spiritual children. What does that mean? Okay, and I want you to turn to that one because that one's kind of neat. Go to 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19. This is so cool because this is the opposite of where we started as children. All right, from verse 19 we read these words. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. I do what I do because I want to see you grow into the grace and glory and Lord and divine deliverance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not about me. I want you to receive far beyond the measure that God has given me. You are my spiritual children. When I look at you, okay, some of you are older than me. Has nothing to do with age. Has everything to do with attitude. I look at you and I say, Lord, you're using me to grow these children up. They're your children, but I can claim them as spiritual children too. Because, Lord, I want to see them grow up. And isn't that what we want for every one of our children? We all want our children to receive and become the best that they could be, to get the greatest blessings in life and to live pain-free. I mean, you know, I can remember my parents, oh, we want you kids to have things so much better than we had them when we grew up. Isn't that the heart of every parent? That we want good things for our families? That's what God wants too. And as we mature, we come out of that, I want, to a, I want to give you. We come to a place of service rather than being served. We become teachers, mentors, leaders. What? You mean I have to give something? Yeah, didn't Jesus give it all? And that's what happens when you mature. You realize that it is better to give than to receive. But the awesome thing is, in the giving, you receive so much more than if you just stood there and wanted the giving. Because when you give, and I want you to think about this, when you give, how much comes back? Think about that. When you give, how much comes back? We've been on missions trips, right? We go to those people to give to them. How many times have we come back from missions trips so overwhelmed with the joy of the Lord and the glory of the Lord upon us? How many times, you know, I have a wonderful school teacher here, and I know he gives beyond the school teacher aspect of his career. He gives to those young children. He gives to the young men and does everything he can. Why? Because what he gets back so far outweighs the amount that he can give that he can't stop giving. And that's what growing up really does. That's what maturing does, because we realize no matter how much we give, we can't outgive God. Because the more we give, the more we get back. And the more we get back, the more we know we have to give. For whom has been given much, much will be required. And it's amazing, because it's not a place of, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to give so much more. It's because we want to at that point in time. Our mentality has totally changed. We have gone out from being a child and wanting to keep it all, mine, to his, give it away, because the more I give away, the more I get. And it becomes one that we just want to give it all. Why do you think you're here? Why do you think you keep coming back? I'm not that good looking. And I know it. And I'm not the greatest orator in the world, and I know it. But you all also know that from me, I want you to exceed far beyond me. I want you to receive grace and glory and compassion and power and all the things that God has for you so much that nothing in life would ever be so difficult that you would shrink away from it. But that in everything that would come your way, that you would take it on with the full armor of God fastened around you, in you, and on you, that you would be a warrior unto Him, knowing that all we have to do is show up for battle. We don't have to fight the fight. He says, once you have done everything to fight, go out there and beat them up. No, He says, stand and pray. And He'll do the rest. Because the battle is the Lord's. He just wants us to show up for duty. That's being mature. That's growing in Christian faith. That's becoming the man or woman of God that we can all be. And the final piece here that I want us to go to, actually I have two more, but we're getting to that time. The final piece that I want to go here to is that no matter what happens in life, we know God is working in us for our eternal good. And you all know that scripture. It's what? Romans 8:28, right? Romans 8:28. Because no matter what comes our way, no matter how hard it is, whether it's blood clots or heart attacks or car wrecks, and you all know I'm talking about me, whatever it is, God is doing all these things to bring us to the place of acknowledging Him as Lord and Savior and knowing that no matter what happens to us, it is to build us into the eternal being that we are becoming even now. God doesn't wait until the other side of the grave. God starts working on eternity now. Now. That's when we walk into maturity. Okay? Two other scriptures, and I'm going to have you look them up so you can see what's there. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Okay? I'm not even going to tell you what they are. I simply want you to look them up. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. And Philippians 4 and 11. Because when you do and as you do for your devotions throughout this week, you're going to find out that there are two more very important aspects of maturity that come to us all. But for today, I want to bring our time to a close as we've ended now this section of Abundant Life. Because when we look back over all that we have learned, when we look back of trying to understand the abundant life, we need to understand that the abundant life is a yielded life. The abundant life is a service life. The abundant life is a separated life. The abundant life is a spirit-filled life. And the abundant life is a mature life. And I recommend that if you truly want to begin living that abundant life, I want you to go online to our website, our web page. Download those sermons, put them on your computer, burn them on a disc, listen to them in the car, because they are there for that very purpose, to help guide you into this abundant life. I don't make these things up. God's Word says it. I believe it, and it's changed my life. You are believing it, and it's changing you. So submit to that Word and truly begin to claim the heritage that is yours in Christ Jesus. For we are heirs with Him. Heirs to what? Heirs to everything. The fullness of God is ours, if we will but receive it. So today, if you would, pray with me that we would begin to walk in the abundant life that God has given to His children. Gracious Father, we do stand before You as Your children, heirs to the promise, heirs to the throne, heirs of eternity. You have given us the hope of the gospel, who is Your Son, Jesus Christ. You have given us His fullness as we walk into His likeness and become as He is. Lord Jesus, we just ask that You would envelop us and help us to grow. Show us the way that we should walk. And Holy Spirit, convict us when we don't, and encourage us when we do. For Lord Jesus, we want to be changed. We want to be made anew. And we want that abundant life because it is Your promise, God. And may each and every one of us receive it to the full measure of Your glory, for Your glory, and in Your glory. For these things we pray Thee in Jesus' holy name. Amen.